What up, sluts? This is Colleen, and you're listening to the Lars Podcast with the fabulous Ralph and Ben. Rock on, boys.
Who do you want to be today? Who do you want to be?
This one's going to be tough.
It is.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. It's the Lars and Non-Lost Podcast, and we are here to talk about whatever we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we're here to talk, and you're there to listen. So, in a way, we're like E.F. Hutton, really.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but I know who Ralph is. That's me.
And I'm Ben.
That's you.
Then there we are.
So this is the Lars, and we used to be a Lost Podcast, but Lost is not here. But we are.
That's right. We're keeping the home fires burning until Lost comes back.
Yes.
Might as well.
And before Lost comes back, you guys should head over to shopsalmonade.com and pick up your Darmalars shirts, which the pictures are starting to come in.
We're starting to get pictures, and we love them, so
and,
if you get it.
I hope you don't mind, but I've been putting the fan pictures as our default image on MySpace.
Yeah, that
our
way
logo,
people know. People
our
logo
is there.
Anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got an echo on that one.
Yeah, they're awesome. Go get those shirts, dudes.
Yeah, and dudarettes.
Yeah. So shopsalmonade.com. Pick up a Darmalars shirt. I got mine today in the mail, and it looks badass. I was pretty stoked on it.
Well, what you should do is let's get a picture of you before you leave.
Yeah,
and I'll put it as the default.
Yay! I could be on our MySpace page.
Sweet. For those of you listening on iTunes,
you can click on the link.
You can click on the album art right now, and that'll take you directly to shopsalmonate.com.
And yeah,
look for the golden ticket.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
the gold ticket's still out there. And I talked to Sam. I need to double check. I need to double check on this. But even if you've already gotten your shirt,
okay,
you still may have a chance. It might show up.
Really?
Yeah. I need to clarify some things. But
it might be under separate cover.
Hope is not lost.
I hope we're not just fucking with people out there. Like
no.
That already got their shirts and we're already learning to deal with it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
if
you buy a T-shirt, for those of you that weren't here last week or the week before, you may randomly receive the golden ticket, and the winner will receive a bunch of Darmalars swag. And we'll get to record with us on an episode. Very special episode.
Yeah.
It'll be Darmalars and you.
Yes.
Or the Lars and you, depending on what we talk about.
So, Ben, how was your week?
It was pretty awesome, dude. I went to the Quickie Mart. I forgot that's another thing we could talk about.
Yeah. You can see pictures of Ben's trip to the Quickie Mart on
MySpace.com.
Yeah. /Darmalars. I went and looked at the pictures, and it looks like you guys had a blast.
It was fun. You know, I mean, there was a line. We waited like 20 minutes in line, and then we went into the what it was a 7-Eleven, converted to a Quickie Mart. I put all those pictures. I took every picture that I took up there. So
I saw there was a lot
of
pictures.
The whole story.
Man, there's so much stuff going on.
Yeah.
How is Buzz Cola?
It's Coke. Okay. It's Coca-Cola. I'm almost convinced.
Okay, I haven't had mine yet. How is the movie donut?
The movie donut is large and delicious and a little too sweet.
My only gripe from what I've seen of the movie donut, that it does not have the jelly filling.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean,
they're pushing it as the movie donut, and every time they're showing the commercial, some jelly squirts out. A little grape jelly. You know, we were talking about the Simpsons movie donut, how there are pink donuts and there are sprinkled donuts, but there aren't really that many that put them together
both,
like that. There's definitely no donuts with holes in the middle and with jelly.
Except for Hostess released, now I don't know the name.
Really?
Hostess-O's.
They have like a
Hostess-O's
whole...
was around in probably the early 90s, late 80s.
Uh-huh.
They were a white powder donut with a raspberry fill that were circular shaped.
Well, that's awesome. So that's.
But those are like manufactured Hostess.
Yeah.
Brand donuts.
But still, I mean, I didn't know that. I've never seen that before.
If they still make Hostess-O's, I highly recommend you finding them.
Good stuff.
Maybe Matt on XE Entertainment or X Entertainment will.
Yeah, he's probably going to stash them.
We'll stop by the ATM machine and grab some Hostess-O's from 1991.
For a nutrition feed.
Yeah.
The donut was delicious.
Uh-huh. I'm wondering if in that form, like the way they're making them, if structurally they'd be able to have jelly on the inside. I doubt it.
It would probably collapse on its own awesomeness.
So some things happen in cartoons that can't happen in real life.
That's what you have to learn today from us, folks.
Yeah.
So if an anvil falls on you, I'm sorry to say you're fucked.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But the donuts are still delicious. Squishy, or is there a special flavor?
No, just a cup.
Yeah. But I mean, this squishy is based on Slurpee, so yeah. I mean.
So it tastes probably exactly how it tastes for them.
No chutney.
Yeah, there's no chutney flavored squishy. No all syrup squishy.
What kind of other stuff do they have there? I noticed the big stand-up Simpson characters.
Yeah, and signs. Those were all in the pictures. Apparently, there's also Radioactive Man comics.
Oh.
But I didn't see any there.
Okay.
I didn't know to look for them, so I didn't look at the magazine rack.
Too bad, yeah.
But I didn't see them, and I haven't seen them at any other 7-Elevens just yet. And there's also supposed to be Krusty O's.
Yes.
But they were out of those when we went.
I was IMing one of the Darm Lars fans, and they mentioned that the Krusty O's say on the box that there's a jagged metal Krusty O, but
there isn't.
There isn't inside.
That's good.
It would be kind of funny if they did one.
Yeah, but they would not be able to get away with it.
Somehow work around being able to
make it. They could probably just say, hey, we said there was a jagged metal Krusty O inside. It's written right on the box.
Yeah.
You can't sue us. That's a warning label, that is. So it was cool, you know. It was like a 7-Eleven made up to look at a quickie mart. It could only be so cool.
Yeah.
And then we went all the way to the one in Burbank. James says there's one like 3 minutes from his house.
Really?
There's one on like Venice.
Oh.
So I guess I could have done a little research online ahead of time, but I didn't.
I think all the LA nerds are going to the one in Burbank.
I think they.
It might be maybe set up a little bit better.
Yeah.
I keep on hearing Burbank. People keep mentioning the Burbank.
That's the one that everyone talked. And it's like, I don't know. It's a cool location because it's almost like a Five Points intersection in a way, in that this 7-Eleven or Quickie Mart is kind of isolated in the area.
Oh, okay.
But it's like by a couple of major streets, so it's kind of cool.
Fireworks at the folks' house this past week.
That was fun.
Yeah, I had a blast as normally.
Blast. Firework blast.
I let off some California illegal fireworks.
Yeah, these were old. How old were those?
These are from probably the ground flowers and Piccolo Pete's are from 1997.
Phew.
The firecrackers are from probably 99.
Wow.
And they still work.
You see, my hometown, La Mirada, still allows fireworks, but they have outlawed certain ones. And ground flowers is unfortunately on that list, which is too bad because they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We should have. I don't know. We did some of them at nighttime, right?
Yeah, we did some.
Because we lit off most of them during the day, and it's like, hey, look at that.
Because we just felt like fire hungry.
Yeah.
We just wanted to be like, God.
Yeah, we were chomping at the bit.
How many firecrackers did you think I had?
You had a whole lunchbox full of assorted illegals.
Yeah.
It was cool, though. It was good times.
A lot of fun.
And then this weekend, I went out for Austin's birthday dinner. We went to this cool bar in L.A. where basically the way it worked, I think he had to like reserve a table to get this.
Uh-huh.
But they had like a tub on the table that had ice and a cocktail shaker and lemons and limes and olives. And they gave us a bottle of vodka and a carafe of cranberry juice and a carafe of tonic, a bunch of glasses, and some Red Bulls. And they said, okay, see you later.
That's
like,
cool.
And they just kept refilling the mixers. So it was like I was making Cape Cods for Janie. I was making vodka tonics for myself. It was pretty cool. It worked out well.
Cool. And you probably don't have to leave a tip for that, huh?
Did
anyone tip you?
They should have. Damn it. No, I ended up leaving no tip. That's pretty funny. I didn't even think about it at the time. Oh, well.
All right. Well, what do you say? You want to get into movie reviews?
Sure. Yeah. Movie review.
Movie review. Well, it always seems to work.
Life's becoming such a flurry. The Tuesday before 4th of July, so I guess it was
right after we recorded our Independence Day episode.
Yeah, I skidded out of here and went down to the closest art house theater in Irvine and saw Eagle versus Shark.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a rating system in line? Eagle or...
Yeah, we'll do Eagle or Shark.
Okay.
And
Eagle is American, so we'll say
Eagle can win.
Good.
Eagle will be good, and Shark will be bad.
Okay.
So Eagle vs. Shark stars Jemaine Clement, who you might know
yes.
from Flight of the Conchords.
And if you don't know about Flight of the Conchords,
watch it.
I think you could. You don't have to follow a storyline. You could jump in any episode and enjoy
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, anyone who has HBO in a non-digital box can just watch this week's episode. But anyone who has a digital box probably has On Demand, and they can watch all of them.
Oh, awesome.
And I would say watch all of them, because
yeah.
come on. So, anyhow, he's in Flight of the Conchords, and it's him and this girl. And they're all, like, really flat affect, kind of geeky people, like Napoleon Dynamite,
uh-huh.
essentially. And it's just this, like, little quirky comedy about these characters, and she falls in love with him from afar, and she tries to get next to him, and she ends up next to him, and then they go and visit his parents, and then it's, the conflict is she loves him, but he is on a mission of revenge. He wants to kill this guy that he went to high school with. He used to torment him as a bully.
Sounds so, cool.
Yeah, it's all about him training, like trying to beat up a stick in the backyard, and
is the sense of humor of the movie similar to Flight of the Conchords?
No, it's more similar to, like, Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay.
It's, I mean, his interests are, you know, nunchucks, and he makes candles. That's one of his hobbies. He makes, like, this one candle that's shaped like flame with a hole in the middle for the wick. It's, you know, it's a flame within a flame.
That's pretty funny.
So, yeah, it's cute. I would say it was charming. And
oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It made me laugh hysterically. Like, there was one joke near the beginning that I kept laughing at because it was so funny to me. they're sitting down to eat dinner, the girl and her brother.
Uh-huh.
And one of their cats, or their cat, comes up and, like, tries to steal some of his food. And he pushes the cat away and he's like, she tried to steal some of my food. And they both laugh about it. And then they laugh about it some more. Like, it's so absurd that a cat would steal their food. And then later on, he comes into a room. He's like, look, I drew a picture. And it's a picture of a cat fishing. He's like, I thought of it when Millie tried to steal my food. Like, what? Who are these people? How do they have a cat in their house? And that's new to them.
It sounds...
I know. It's a stupid detail, but it made me laugh the whole movie long.
So, Eagle or
Eagle?
Shark?
I'm going to say Eagle, definitely.
Cool.
I would probably buy it, you know, for the Jemaine factor. The fact that it was a really kind of a, you know... touching story.
Then
it's fun.
Pop it at any time.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll have to come over and watch it.
Yeah, you will. Tony went and saw it last week.
Oh, yeah.
Zero Time Caller went and saw it, and he missed like the first 10 minutes, and he had to call me to find out what happened
during the movie.
See,
and then you had to tell him about the 5 minutes after that.
I talked to him on the phone for an hour, just catching him up until he made it to the IATSE logo, and then I could hang up. So he missed the cat joke, which is too bad for him. But yeah, if you're in the mood for like a quirky, fun little character piece, and you know, the opposite of Transformers,
yeah, probably.
And if it's playing near you, which
yeah.
Yeah, good luck. Go see Eagle vs. Shark.
Awesome.
Good. So that's our movie review for this week.
And if you don't get a chance to check it out in theaters, you can always do what our next section is.
That's right. You can always do that.
Let's get to that.
All right. You guys ready to stick it in your queue?
I
This is the section where we tell you about movies that are cool or important or funny. And if you haven't seen it yet, we recommend that you rent it by putting it in your Netflix queue.
Or, yeah.
Or nothing else. We're only endorsing Netflix from this point forward.
Yes. We should get money from those clowns.
You know, Amy jumped on the Blockbuster bandwagon. Did you hear about that on
the
show?
Yeah, I heard about that.
I'm kind of, you know... she's got a lot of good points about how, you know, you can drop them off at the store and stuff like that. But I like Netflix because Blockbuster was dicking around with an old business model, not fixing shit. And Netflix was like, hey, what if we did this? It's like, oh, what a great idea. And then Blockbuster's like, oh, yeah, well, we could do that, too.
Yeah.
And that bugs me just a little bit.
Netflix is now doing Blu-ray.
Ooh, that's cool.
From what I hear.
I've gotten a couple of HD DVDs from Netflix.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got... I actually have one at my house right now, Phantom of the Opera.
Jeez.
So let's... I went first last week,
I think I will probably never put a musical in my queue until the very end.
Oh, you've seen every other movie on Netflix?
I will never...
until the bitter end of your life? You know?
Musicals. I'm not a fan.
South Park.
Sound of Music.
Sound of Music, yeah.
Yeah.
That's two.
That might be a musical.
I went first last week, so do you want to go first?
Yes. The movie I am going to recommend this week is a film that I am... we're ramping up for Comic-Con.
Oh, yes.
And this is a movie that I got signed last year, or got an autograph for last year once, and then Ben got autographed twice.
Yeah.
At Comic-Con, I got it signed by... few people from the film, and it is a movie, a comedy, that really didn't make it to theaters, if I remember correctly.
I don't think it did.
It was intended for theaters.
Yeah.
And I think if it were released now, it would be in theaters and make a ton of money.
Yeah.
It's a film called Run, Ronnie, Run. The Ronnie Dobbs story. It's a film essentially from the creators of the HBO hit comedy Mr. Show with Bob and David. And it stars Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk.
And David Cross. And it follows the exploits of
Dirtbag
down in the dumps, trailer kind of park living guy.
Yeah.
Who has been on a cops type of show.
Yeah.
More than anybody else.
He's like the most arrested guy on TV history.
Yes. And so a infomercial British producer guy decides to do a show centered around this character and how he has to run from the coppers around the world or around the United States, and a show called Run, Ronnie, Run.
Yeah.
It's very, very funny. It's very, very rated R.
That's for sure.
And the cameos are absolutely insane.
Off the charts.
Patton Oswalt's in this movie. Do you know that?
No.
You got to watch it again.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The three signatures I have on here is by Tom Kenny, who plays SpongeBob, and he plays two parts in this film. Jill Talley, who...
Is his wife
and is also in Mr. Show. And Brian Posehn, who we all now know as the minister who... was in Fantastic Four.
Yeah. We saw him in the trailer, even.
Let's try to spout out a list of cameos.
Okay. Dave Foley.
Ben Stiller.
Scott Thompson.
Yes. Gary Shandling.
Sarah Silverman.
Jack Black. Patrick Warburton.
Andy Dick. Is Andy Dick in it?
Probably.
Probably.
You
know, Bob and Dave.
Jeff Goldblum. Andy Richter.
Who plays the girl? Like the hot girl?
Nikki Cox.
Nikki Cox.
Jack Black. Did I mention Jack
Black?
Yeah. There's a million people in this movie.
Laura Keitlinger? Did
Laura
she show
Keitlinger's
up?
In it.
Yeah.
Chow Chow.
It's loaded.
For you Lost fans who are still listening, MC Gainey is in it.
Yes.
Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
Oh, I can't believe
Kathy Griffin. I can't even.
Is there a list on the back?
There is not a list on the back.
It's just like, it's like, you know, the guys from Mr. Show got together and made a movie, and they had as many of their friends and fans and people that they liked come by and just hang out on the set. And it's, you know, it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. Run, Ronnie, Run. Rated R. Or not rated. Yeah, it's rated R. Mandy Patinkin shows up.
Yes, and he's brilliant in it. Because at one point they take the Ronnie Dobbs story and make a musical of it, and Mandy Patinkin plays Ronnie Dobbs, and
fucking makes
me laugh.
David Koechner's in it,
yes,
as the narrator.
Yes, and the blonde chick that hangs out with him—I don't know her name, but she was on Arrested Development. Remember, she was wearing the fat suit.
Oh yeah,
she was suing. She was suing Skip Churches.
Yeah,
that's an Arrested Development reference. So for those out there keeping track of the millions of those we've done.
Probably not Jay from the Jay and Jack podcast, because that guy doesn't watch Arrested Development, because I'm going to go and say he's not a cool guy.
Well,
because he doesn't do that.
He will learn the error of his ways.
With a beating.
Mark my words.
An Arrested Development beating from me and Colleen from Metrobus.
Watch your ass, Jay.
Which, by the way, thank you, Colleen from Metrobus, for the opening.
Oh, yeah, that was a good intro. We don't mention the intros enough.
I always forget.
Let them happen.
Yeah. So that's my movie. Let's get to Ben's movie, because
okay.
We've been chatting too long about my movie.
Another Comic-Con film that I would like to recommend that people stick in their queue is one that I saw a panel for a couple of years back, and it is the movie Serenity.
Yes.
Serenity came out in 2005. It was written and directed by Joss Whedon, who some of you may know is the creator of Buffy and Angel.
I think what this movie has going for it is it may be one of the few nerd movies that you essentially made me watch.
Yeah.
That I thoroughly,
yeah,
thoroughly enjoyed
it
and
was,
back
it,
up completely.
It was kind of a nerve-wracking thing, too, because had you even seen the show at that point?
I hadn't.
Okay.
I'd seen, like, half of the pilot episode.
Serenity is a film that's based on a TV show that was canceled well before its time. And, you know, it took me years to watch the TV show myself until a friend of mine loaned me the DVD, and then I went right out and bought it and loaned it to as many people as I could. And I looked around at the theater, and I had brought, like, 18 people to see Serenity.
It was the crazy turnout.
It was my parents, you know, you and all the guys.
Like, all the guys, like, more than normal. It was weird.
Tabitha.
Like, we had more people show up to Serenity than, like, Transformers.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah, and I thought about it, and it's like, each of these people is at this movie because I showed them the TV show. Or just told them to come.
I was just up for seeing a movie. Yeah. I had seen, like, half of the pilot.
So it is nerve-wracking, though, like, to be there and be like, hey, come see this movie. Like remember when we were talking about they might make a Red Dwarf movie?
and you I were was like, talking about that.
What's that?
Did I admit, was I in that conversation?
You were always indicating that you would probably not go with me.
Did I? Okay. I didn't know. I thought I'd maybe pulled the ripcord early in the conversation to make my exit on Red Dwarf.
No, but this was a while back when there was talk of possibly being a Red Dwarf movie, and I was telling Matt that he should come see it with me.
Number one ultraviolet fan,
but he was like, you know, I think he would go see it because he's watched enough of the show and he gets a laugh out of it. But it's the same kind of feeling as like if I were to somehow convince you to see a Red Dwarf movie, which would be unlikely. The whole time I'd be like, I sure hope this is a good movie, otherwise I owe him $8.
Wow.
So Firefly, the series, is about a crew of...
Smugglers?
Smugglers, yeah.
But scavengers?
Yeah, they do any kind of... like
they're
maybe
in space.
Black market, gray market stuff in space, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Western set in space. Because a lot of the way they talk and...
And there's horses in the opening of the
horses
show.
And guns.
But and, like their laser guns look like six shooters.
Yeah.
Right?
No, they're actually like guns, too. I'm pretty sure they're bullet style.
Cool.
There is a laser, but there's also like bullets and stuff. And Serenity was kind of like, hey, the show got canceled, but it made a whole lot of bank on the DVDs, and the fans are still rabid about it. So somehow Joss Whedon got the cachet to make a movie. And the movie was pretty interesting. But if you haven't seen Firefly, I don't know if I would tell you to stick it in your queue. So, if you do like the idea of the Serenity movie I'm talking about, first stick Firefly in your queue, and then stick Serenity in your queue.
I'm not a big fan of, I hadn't seen that many episodes of Firefly, but by the time I got to Serenity, I was really, really, really sad
when stuff went down.
Stuff happened to certain people.
There is some stuff that happens in Serenity that's like... But that almost makes you wish it had just ended a little earlier. But it was still it's still a really great story. It tells the story of one of their passengers, one of this crew of blackguards, one of their passengers is wanted by the law, essentially.
Yes.
And you finally find out kind of why.
Uh-huh.
And it delves into her history, and it delves into the history of like the galactic government. It ties in nicely with the fact that the captain of the ship is really against this government, and you know the reason they find out that why they're looking for her is one of the many reasons why he's against people like them.
Mm-hmm.
Good action, good fighting, and some great lines from my hero of the series, Jane. They ask how much ammo they have left, and he says, "Just two clips in my swinging cock," which I think is a hilarious line.
I have seen the movie, and I enjoyed the movie. I have yet to see the TV show. Would you recommend, for the listeners out there who haven't seen either, would you say stick the show in your queue first, then the movie, and go chronological? Or would you say watch the movie, you'll fall in love with it, and that'll totally sell you on want to watch the show?
You know, I'd want to be able to say that second one. I would want to be able to say watch the movie first, and then that'll make you want to check out the history, but I don't know if it would. I don't know if it would sell itself as much as the show would.
It did for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I guess you guys can have it both ways.
Well, there you go. It depends on how much of an investment you're willing to try before you watch the whole thing. Yeah. If you want to just try an hour and a half, you know, then watch the movie first. But yeah. if you want to really enjoy everything to the most, I would watch the TV show first so you can catch it all in chronological order.
Definitely.
So there you go. Stick some shit in your queue.
All right.
We're not going to do a two-minute debate this week.
There's a reason, and we'll get to that in a second. But our last week's debate, which was Return of the Jedi, was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it was a real pitcher's duel.
I thought I was just going to get slammed in the awesomeness of Return of the Jedi.
But you didn't, because it turns out that 47% of the voters voted for Ralph, that Return of the Jedi was a waste of their time.
Yeah.
Which means that 53% voted for me, saying that Jedi was a Star Wars movie. So, I win. Barely.
Yeah, and thanks for everyone who voted, especially those who voted once. Apparently, according to producer Webmaster Ryan,
yeah,
you can now only vote once.
That's good. So, we got that one locked down.
But I'm sure you're out there disabling cookies and all that good stuff.
People are out there trying to figure out workarounds.
For a cause that is totally pointless.
Just so they can tell everyone how much they hate Return of the Jedi. So when we do the two-minute debates, when we bring it back next...
This will be back next week.
Next week. Then you guys can go and vote on it on dharmalars.net. But this week, we're going to wrap it up pretty soon here.
There's a reason why we didn't do a two-minute debate, and there's a reason why our show is going to be about 35 minutes. And that reason is because we are, when we're done talking here, we're going to continue to record the Dharmalars Comic-Con Survival Guide.
That's right. A special survival guide brought to you by us. It'll come out sometime in the middle of the week, sometime on the weekend.
I'm thinking I'll post it Sunday night, so when you guys are sad on Monday going to work, it'll be there for you in the morning.
There you go. You can listen to it maybe on your morning commute.
There you go.
We're going to tell you from our limited experience at Comic-Con what we recommend to do. We're going to tell you what we plan on doing. Mm-hmm. And just kind of chop it up and give like a Comic-Con summation.
Yeah.
So stick around, listen to the show on Sunday, and you'll hear that.
Definitely.
I guess now we give out the contact info?
Yeah, sure.
If you guys want to give us send us a picture of you in your new Dharmalars shirt.
Definitely do that.
Please, because it cracks me up. The picture of Palmer is awesome.
Yeah.
Is he like looking into a hatch or something?
It's actually in his backyard. I was IMing with him.
Uh-huh.
And the picture was...
Instant really, messaging.
He was really... Yeah, I was IM messaging him, and it was really, like, the picture, he's like, man, it's so dark, do you know anything about Photoshop? So, so
well,
I put a
yeah.
little glow in there, and I sent that back and posted that on our page. Send that to dharmalars@gmail.com.
Yeah, and send us anything else, like we said last week, you know, send us a random story. A friend of, some listener sent us a story about how a friend of his was vomiting on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Did you see my response to that?
Yes, I did.
I was telling the story of the time that Ralph and I were hanging out drinking six packs of cider because we were hardcore back in the day.
Not only was it the time we were hanging out drinking, it was essentially a night where we were supposed to get to know each other because I had already committed into moving into your house.
That's right, but we still were strangers, kind of.
Not even really. It was like there was a party, and I'm like, "Hey, you guys are looking for a roommate. I'm looking for a place."
Really?
And then I'm like, and then it was like, "Well, we should hang out sometime." And then so this happened.
So we decided to hang out, and our method of getting to know each other was watching Rocket Man. Different nights?
It was Kingpin.
Kingpin.
Which will be something I'll stick in my cube section.
And Batman the Movie.
Batman the Movie starring 66. Adam West.
And we were each drinking a six-pack of cider.
I think it was only a four.
A four-pack of cider?
No, it was six. It was six.
And as part of the inebriation, someone had vomited because they got too sick. And
because this person had drank all six ciders. And half a bottle of Great Pucker.
Oh, God.
By the time
we're so young and
Batman
stupid.
Was halfway done. And I'm pretty sure this person had two shots of whiskey.
Oh.
I don't know why I would remember all this stuff about that person.
I know
doing
you, must
this
been
stuff.
You must have been watching this person very closely that night.
I guess so.
But I wasn't watching that closely because after the vomit happened and
right on the floor
right on
in
the
house
floor.
That I decided to move into, this person decided to throw up right there.
You should have changed your mind. I don't want to live here after this person threw up here. while everyone's scrambling around to help this person wash his face and put his shirt on and to clean up the vomit off the floor.
It's funny because I don't have any recollection of after the vomit.
You just
He just passed out.
He just passed out.
And woke up with rug burns on his my knees because he was being dragged to the bathroom.
Yeah, he woke up with rug burns on my knees. So this person vomits all over the place and everyone's sweating cleaning it up. And I pretended to be asleep. I was sitting on the couch watching everything. And I was like, oh, my God, I've cleaned it up. And I laid down and pretended to be asleep, and everyone thought I was passed out.
You were probably chuckling while you were doing it, too.
I was trying my best not to laugh. But, yeah, Tony and Emily had to clean the shit up. And
moral of this story, when you meet your new roommates and hang out with them for the very first time,
yeah,
you know they're cool guys when you wake up wearing one of their shirts.
That's right. You were wearing like my Reese's.
He was wearing one of your shirts.
My Reese's peanut butter cup shirt with like the peace sign eaten out of it.
Yeah. What happened to that shirt? Did I give him back to you?
I don't know.
I got fucking hammered that night. I threw up on your floor, which was going to be my floor. Wow.
Yeah, it was good times. Good times. So anyhow, yeah, if you're stuck, people, if you're stuck out there, pretend to be asleep.
And then you don't have to pick up vomit.
There's morals on either side of that story. There's your moral, and there's my moral.
I'm drinking at Comic-Con, just letting you know.
Good.
I want somebody to throw up.
Tall order.
I want someone to throw up.
I drank last year so much so that I was hungover all day on Saturday, lost my underwear, didn't get a Cherry Darling poster, and I didn't throw up. So I don't think it's going to be me.
I'll punch you in the stomach.
That'll make me throw up.
We'll get some throw up at Comic-Con. But we'll save that for our Comic-Con survival guide.
That's right.
If you guys want to reach us on the Lars line, it's 206-338-4261.
Call us. Leave us a message. Tell us what's up.
At 206-338-4211. So, yeah, give us a call at any of those numbers.
Either of those numbers. Let us know what you think about the stick it in your queue. I want to hear feedback. I want to hear someone say, hey, I got that. It was great. Or
be like Mike Campbell from the East Coast, who's a big fat jerk, and said, hey, I got Wet Hot American Summer, and it was stupid.
Yeah, that guy. Well, but he's like 81% similar to me on Netflix.
I know. I think he needs to watch it again.
Yeah. He needs to watch it with additional fart noises.
And I mentioned Colleen from MetroBuzz and the Darmalars and MetroBuzz are going to hijack Jay, the punk who's never seen Arrested Development. And make him watch it.
Intervention.
Intervention.
Yeah, Bluth style?
Yes. I'd like to call it an inquisition. Is that what it was?
Imposition.
So anyway, she was talking about Wet Hot American Summer and how awesome it is. So
awesome.
They're on our side.
Wet Hot American Summer is kind of one of those ones that I use as like a test balloon.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, do you like this movie?
And then they say, tested poorly.
A mic tested poorly in some markets.
But hey, you know what? That's his opinion, and it counts. So
that's
send
right.
us your opinions. If you think that my last week's suggestion was stupid, then send it in.
Yeah.
And a great feature now, which we're doing, is we now have the queue section on our Darmalars.net page. Go to the queue, and if you don't want to just take our word for it, we're going to post trailers of the movies that we recommend.
That's right.
Someone had mentioned that, hey, Ralph, is there a list where we can see all of your suggestions? And we don't have one of those, but I'm thinking that we should.
What a funny thing. Someone mentioned this, and no, we don't have it.
But I'm thinking we should do it. I need to give Ryan a call.
That'd be cool.
So anyway, darmalars.net, scottandsteve.blogspot.com. We hang out there.
MySpace.com/darmalars.
That's where we're going to post your pictures as of right now.
Yep.
Send us those pictures at darmalars@gmail.com. Stay tuned later this week. Refresh your iTunes, and you will be able to see the Darmalars Guide Comic-Con Survival Guide Comic-Con.
Of Comic-Con Surviving. This weekend, we'll see Harry Potter, so we can talk about that next week.
Right.
And we'll be back with another two-minute debate next week.
Let's do it on Harry Potter.
All right. There we go.
Because I don't like Harry Potter.
So next week, we look forward to that. So, all right, guys, take it easy, and we'll talk to you later. Lars de la Vista. Hey, who likes cake?
Everybody.
I'm an actor.
Hey, Donna Lars, this is Afro Hippie Chick calling from Seattle, and I wanted to wish you a happy 4th of July. I saw Transformers, and it was awesome. I love seeing guys blow shit up. It was great. Yeah. And I want one of those golden tickets, man, so I better have one of my t-shirts. Peace out.
Hello, my name is Courtney Phillips. And I want to go to Comic-Con. Please take me there, Dharma, Lars, Kevin, and Ben. Kevin? Ralph and Ben. Ralph and Ben will take me to Comic-Con because I like the Arrow Vengeance stars. They're the Arrow Vengeance stars and the motherfucking cops. Lost is the best show ever. Dude, I fucking watch that shit every Wednesday. I was the first person in my city to do it. I like milk a lot. I want it so, so bad. I want the milk. You give me the milk. I want spilled milk. Not that. I don't want that shit. Okay? Give me some eco-friendly vegan shit, and I will eat it. But I want to go to the fucking kamikaze show, too. Go home to the kamikaze show where the Asian people show off their comic books. They will do it for you. They will give you the comic book at Comic-Con. And they will tell you, this was $5. You give me the $5 before I give you five comics. No, I don't. Please, sir. My name is Courtney Phillips. I live in Eugene, Oregon. And it's 97405. And that's enough. And please, Ralph and Ben, take me to Comic-Con.
Hey, guys, it's Brian Kincaid. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. I don't know if my last message actually made it on the answer chain because it cut me off. It just said call failed, and I was like, what? But anyway, I want to say how much I like the Don Harris, and got one of my yellow t-shirts from samandnate.com, and I had this kind of hilarious story in my first phone call message, but if you didn't hear my first phone call message, I'm going to say it again, that I thought the website was shopmandate.com, and I went there, and I was like, what is going on? I don't see any of the Don Harris t-shirts. Then I was finally like, shop Sam and Nate. I'm getting a call waiting right now. It's my brother-in-law, Big Pete, so I'm just going to ignore that. So finally, like, long story, I went to the website, got the t-shirt, and I'm waiting on it, and when I get it, I'm going to take a picture of me in front of the Berrywoods Mall with my yellow Domlayer shirt on, and I'm going to send you an email at whatever, domlayers@gmail.com, and I'm going to say, hey, look at me, it's Brian Kincaid, Berrywoods Mall, represent Omaha, Nebraska. What up, Huskers Nation, all the way, Big Red Machine. So, pretty much, and also said that I liked the show, Shaq's Big Challenge, and that's these kind of husky kids that Shaq is in a whipping shape, and he's got, Shaquille O'Neal, he's got this, he's got a goatee and some sideburns that are just really odd and strange, but anyway, big night for me tonight because Big Brother number 8 is on, and wow, can't wait to get home and pull it off on DVR. It's a digital recording of a device. Play me Big Brother because I'm going to watch it, and I just got a haircut. I'm going to get home and rinse my head off. I probably got little bitty hairs on my neck because I opted not to get the shampoo there because it's kind of erotic. Not really, I just joke about that. But anyway, I'm going to go home and rinse my hair off, and then I'm going to watch Big Brother number 8, and I hope you guys watch it too, because if you will, just talk a little bit about Big Brother 8 on your next podcast, and I'm gonna get home and watch it, and then I'm gonna tell you what I think about it. I'm gonna call back on the down the line and tell you. So, goodbye, Brian Kincaid. You'll hear from me again. Good job on the show, guys. Ben and Ralph, I love you guys. Goodbye.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Brian. Just wanted to call in and make a comment on that movie you guys were talking about. You know, Corey Matthews and his robot friends. I mean, Transformers. Yeah, took my four-year-old to see it opening night. It kicked ass. Just wanted to mention about you saying blame Volkswagen for the whole Bumblebee thing, but I don't think it's really Volkswagen's fault. If you look at it, it seems like General Motors threw a lot of money at that film, basically, to get their cars plastered all over it. You got the 08 Camaro, of course, the black full-size GMC pickup truck, and my favorite, the fucking Pontiac Solstice. You know, thank God they put that guy out of his misery. But anyways, yeah, General Motors, you know, they seem to do that. If you watch that movie, you'll see that just about all the prop cars, from the one swerving out of the way on the highway to that yellow GTO that gets obliterated in front of the shop there, all General Motors stuff. They do that a lot. It's in the second Matrix, too. You'll notice it there. I don't know. As a car guy, I tend to notice these things, especially since GM is crap. They could have at least made Jazz a Corvette or something, but hey. Still not as bad as James Bond driving a BMW. All right, take it easy, guys. Hey, and just for the record, I'm not complaining. I, like you, thought that Bumblebee totally kicked ass, both in the classic Camaro and in the 08 version.
Return of the Jedi, coming back from outer space. He's all like, hey, daddy, and he's all like, yeah, what? And it's all like, I'm a Jedi, because I'm a Jedi. And then Leia's all like, I'm your sister. Then C-3PO did this really cool thing. Okay, goodbye. Love the show.
Hey, y'all. It's Brian Kincaid from Omaha, Nebraska. I went ahead and sent you a fax. Excuse me. Hopefully you got it. It's kind of like my summer recap, my reviews of my movies that I liked. And so if you got that fax, go ahead and you can read that if you want to, but I'll just spare you all the reading and I'll get you a little bit of my movie reviews. Well, on your suggestion, I went ahead and went and saw Transformers, and I got to say, I was just a little bit offended by the movie, and I ended up, you know the scene where the cars, the Autobots, they go ahead and they transform, and this one Transformer, his name is J.S., J.S. comes down and goes, "What's cracking, bitches?" And I was like, oh, no way. I was really offended by it. You know, I don't like it when people say bitches. I especially don't like it when cars or Autobots says bitches. So I went ahead and got up, and I said, "Thank you very much, Mr. J.S. I'm going to go get my refund, and I'm going to transform my Saturday night into something else and watch a Transformer." So, if you got my little segue right there, I said transform my Saturday nights because the movie's called Transformers. So, and I really do like the show, Flight of the Conchords. I think it's really, really good show. I just can't figure out which of the guys, Jermaine or Britt, which one is sexier. Now, I'm not, you know what I mean, but they're just adorable guys because New Zealand people are just so funny and stuff. But that's my review. You get my facts. Go ahead and say what's up to me, Brian Kincaid from Omaha, Nebraska. Barry Woods Mall, respect, respect, yeah.
Hey, Ralph and Ben. This is Nathan from Los Angeles. I love both your shows, the Lost Show and the Lars Show. But, you know, I'm not normally the type to call in, but since Star Wars was part of your debate, I had to call in. You know, being a 32-year-old male, Star Wars has affected my life from the beginning. But, you know, Return of the Jedi always bothered me. You know, the Ewoks saving the day. You know, who the hell are the Ewoks? You know, it didn't have anything to do with the Force. They just went and killed stormtroopers with rocks. I always thought that was stupid. Even when I was a little kid, I thought it was stupid. I mean, originally they were going to use Wookiees, which would have been cool, you know, like they did in Kashyyyk in Episode 3. You know, and it also bothered me how Boba Fett died. Boba Fett was one of the coolest characters they ever had, but basically they just got rid of him really quick. And the whole movie felt rushed. It was like, okay, get rid of Boba Fett by just having his backpack malfunction and go into the Sarlacc pit. Then the Luke and Vader thing, which was rushed, you know. You never really felt that Luke was conflicted by the dark side at all. It was like, okay, here you go. Darth Vader's a good guy. That's just how it felt to me. And then the whole thing about Luke and Leia being brother and sister, to me, that always just seemed like a convenient way to end the love triangle that was kind of forming in the other two movies. But they say, oh, yeah, you're my sister. And she just accepted it, even though it was never suggested that she was adopted or didn't know her parents or anything like that. It was just too rushed and too conveniently wrapped together. And I'm not even going to go into Lando destroying the Death Star, even though it took an act of the Force to do it last time. I don't know. I also hate how the prequels get such a bad name. Star Wars is campy. It's always been campy. You know, it was Alec Guinness asked to be killed in the first movie because he thought the dialogue and the direction was below him. So, you know, Lucas changed the script to accommodate Guinness, who only came back in the other movies as a ghost because he felt a responsibility for the actors who had to act in such a bad situation. And Harrison Ford, he had that famous quote saying, Lucas, you can type this shit, but you can't say it. And he asked to be killed off between Empire and Return of the Jedi because he felt that Indiana Jones was such a superior role. I don't know. I mean, the prequels are just Star Wars to me. You know, the only thing that they have, they don't have to help them out is the nostalgia of 20 years that everybody feels for the original films. But if you watch them, you know, without the rose-colored glasses on, you can see the acting, except for, you know, Harrison Ford's an awesome actor, and Alec Guinness, but, you know, Luke's acting isn't that great, Leia's acting's not that great, the dialogue is, you know, hit and miss all the time, so the only film that really is different is Empire Strikes Back, but that's because the director, Irvin Kershner, basically went his own way and deviated from what a lot of stuff that Lucas wanted to do. So, well, that's my rant. I mean, I was thankful that Revenge of the Sith put a lot of the pieces together that helped me deal with Luke and Leia being brother and sister, because at least then you had some context that could make it make sense. But for that whole time, it's bothered me. I know that's probably, you know, it's just a movie, but, you know, Star Wars is more important to a lot of people than that. All right. Well, that's my two cents. Thanks. Bye.
Guys, I stuck it in my queue like you told me to, and I just finished watching Brick. That is the best movie I have seen in a long, long time. I'm very, very glad I stuck it in my queue. Just jammed it right in there and sent it straight to the top. It was awesome. If you're listening to this, for some reason, all you other Darmalarzies, rent it, buy it, do anything with it. Make sure you see it. It is amazing. And it's got Claire, which was really cool. Thank you for telling me to stick it in my queue. I will stick any other movie. You tell me to stick it where you want me to stick it, and it will be stuck there where it is stuck. Thank you. Bye.
Hello, Ralph and Ben. This is Chocolate Moose. I am calling about your review of Transformers, the movie. I have to say, the best part of Transformers was the first 10 minutes in which there was a J.J. Abrams trailer for the movie with no name. Oh, burn again.
Hey, what's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Dre calling out at Lee. I don't know how I managed to lose $800, but hey, whatever. So I didn't get to see Transformers, but I'm going to see Saturday. I'm going to see that Saturday, Rome 4801 or whatever, or 1408 or whatever it's called. What else? Oh, and Henry of the Potter, okay? Now, I appreciate you guys not trying to spoil the movie, you know. Two things, okay? One, everybody that hated the movie didn't hate it because they didn't like it. It's because they hated it because they felt like it wasn't true to Transformers. But everybody that liked the damn movie, that got over the little, you know, things, the little things about the movie, love the damn movie. And they also are saying that they're going to see it again. So, I mean, I guess that's a great thing. Now, the thing is, the question I have is that if you guys got there for the preview, okay, there was this one preview that I'm hearing about where it looks like it was shot almost like you gotta excuse the background noise because I'm at work, you know. Anyway, so, yeah, it was this commercial where it was a handheld camera. People were saying that, first of all, that this trailer or teaser or whatever was made by J.J. Abrams for a movie or whatever he's working on. But they said that it was shot, it was playing with Transformers, and that it was shot using a handheld camera, like almost similar to how the Blair Witch started. And pretty much some crap, like some fire, something about fireballs and all this other crap. And somebody mentioned, actually it was on this, All Games Interactive podcast, a show about video games. But the damn thing is, they were saying that it could have possibly, they said, is that a lion, okay? Now, when you think about shit that was old school that had to do, like, you know, about, you know, tie-in similar to Transformers or whatever like that, two cartoons come to mind that involve lions. It was Thundercats and it was Voltron, okay? Actually shooting fireballs was more Voltron, right? Red Lion, right? Or any other damn lion. But that's it. I just wanted to see if you guys seen that trailer and that you did. I want you guys to talk about it. You know, talk about it. Tell me what you think. I know one of you guys just said that actually Ben, I believe, just said he was going to see it again. So, hopefully this gets to you guys in time, and I know this is, you know, a week after Transformers and whatnot, but, you know, hey. All right, I'm out. You know, I ain't got nothing to stick in the queue, so I'm going to go ahead and, I was going to say Robot Jocks, but I guess you guys already said Robot Jocks, didn't you? And that's the first, if you're freaking, and if it wasn't, then I got it. I claim it did. You know what I'm saying? But if you did, then, you know, poo-poo on you. All right. Later, guys.
I have to be honest, I really love Michael Love you, my...